Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. So, wholesalers, did you read the Sunday night email a couple of weeks ago? Have you read anything on the website? Have we had a chance to talk live about the importance of knowing more about your advisors before your cheeks hit their guest chair? Because you know it's critical. And I went out and found a recognized expert on this very topic. Sam Richter's with us, and he's the author of the best-selling book, Take the Cold Out of Cold Calling, which is all about sales intelligence and finding more information online and using it for your business and sales success. Now, he's got some corresponding tools like the Know More Center and the Know More Toolbar, and he's been featured internationally in syndicated columns and the best-selling book by Harvey McKay. He's been on CNN, Business Week, other publications, and I think of his many impressive accomplishments, one of the most impressive is that in 2012, his book, again, Take the Cold Out of Cold Calling, which we'll link up on the website, was named Sales Book of the Year by the 1,500 member companies of the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals and was a USA Book News winner. He's the founder of No More Sales and Training and Business Improvement Program, and he delivers his keynote and workshops throughout the country with a host of industries, but he also spent a great deal of time in our community of financial services working directly with advisors, Merrill Lynch, UBS, Morgan, etc. So without further ado, let me welcome Sam Richter to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Sam, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much, Rob. I really appreciate being here. I don't know if you can see my red face through the phone, but I'm blushing a little bit. I'm going to record that introduction and play it for my family over and over and over again.
I'm sure they'll continue to be impressed each and every time.
Yeah.
So we want to learn more about not only the how-to, but the why of this whole notion of doing sales intelligence. Now, you and I had a conversation a moment ago in the pre-discussion about what I call the head versus the heart, the whole notion of, you know, how do we appeal not just about the stuff that we know that we're good at, which is the minutiae of the product, ours and the competitors, but how do we excel at touching the right heartstrings of advisors? And I know that's a big piece of your concept and presentation. Tell us your thoughts on this, please.
Well, I'm going to start out with a quote from President Roosevelt, and I wish I could take credit for it, but I think it's just brilliant, and I think it really sums up what we're going to talk about today. And that is, the quote is, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And think about that. Us as wholesalers, when we go and we're calling on these advisors, do they really care about your product? Do they really care about the benefits, the values, you know, all the PowerPoint presentations, the brochures? They don't care about any of that stuff. What they really are massively passionate about is themselves. Every advisor out there is passionately cares about themselves. Not just advisors, everybody on the planet massively is passionate about one thing, and it's themselves. And yet we've all gone through sales training where we're told, you know, go sell with value, go sell with benefits, go sell with features, those kinds of things. And the problem is that when you go into that meeting with that advisor, their mindset is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And yet we as sellers only end up talking about ourselves. So why is that so important? You know, when I speak in my training, I always ask people, I say I use some date ranges. So there's AD and there's CE. So I'll ask you, what's BG stand for? What do you think BG stands for?
BG, before Google.
Before Google. You got it. Before Google. And how old's Google?
Oh, geez. Now you're testing me. Let me just take a wild guess and say 93 or 4.
Yeah, it's 15 years old.
Okay.
So Google's 15 years old. So when I talk to a wholesaler and say, okay, how many of you are in sales BG? You know, usually about 80% of the room raises their hand. And when I say, okay, think about those days 17 years ago when you went in and called on an advisor. What happened? Well, you usually got a two-hour lunch or even got a 3 hours or 4 hours on the golf course. And I'll say, how many of you take 2 hour lunches today? And nobody raises their hand. And the reality is nobody even takes lunch today. And why is that? Because today, buyers, our advisors, have what we call buyer's intelligence. They're pretty smart about us. They already know about our products and our brands and those kinds of things. So they don't need to learn about you. You know, 17 years ago, if information is power, who had the power? It was you, the wholesaler, because you were the only one who knew about your product. Today, everybody knows about your product. Now, what's interesting is, you know, when we talk about taking the cold out of cold calling and building relationships, what we're really doing is we're going back to the way that we sold 17 years ago. When we got to know somebody, we built those relationships. We got to know a little bit about what they cared about. And what's happened with the impersonal web and technologies like we're using today, podcasts and webinars and voicemails and text mails and Skype and all those kinds of things, is we have almost taken the relationship out of relationship selling. And so what I really talk about is how to use the impersonal web to repersonalize our selling.
So let me ask a question around that, Sam. So,
sure.
Because I really want to make sure that our message, because I believe so strongly in what you're saying, our message is correctly communicated. So we're not saying product isn't important. We're not saying that you don't have to have value add, because we talk a lot about your PVP, your peerless value proposition. Correct me if I'm wrong. I hear you saying all of that is part of the process in how we're going to win our business from our advisors, but we have to have a good entry point, and this social intelligence is a better entry point.
Absolutely.
Do I get that right?
Absolutely. You've got it absolutely correct, because if you just go in and start selling that value proposition without building the relationship first, then you're mixing yourself with all the other folks, right? So, for example, on your site right now, I love your blog post. It's 76 questions, great advisor questions. My question to you would be, you've got 76 questions on there, and those are all outstanding questions that allow you to connect and build that relationship. How cool would it be if you knew 50, 60, maybe even 70 of the answers to those questions before you walked in the room?
And the answer is I hope for everyone obvious, it would be awesome. But here's the question. This is a nice entree into the how. So we're all pressed for time. We only have so many hours in a day. Wholesalers are already working 14, 15 hours a day, the greatest of the great. Plus I have a family, so you know, let's be reasonable here, Sam. Give me some ideas about ways to get my sales intelligence effectively and efficiently. So let's do the effectively first. How do I go out and get this sales intelligence?
Well, I think, you know, if you think that the first thing out of your mouth needs to be something about the other person, let's go find something about their company that's interesting. So there's a couple ways to do that. News articles are the best. The first thing I recommend is go to Google and do a Google search. Now, make sure anytime you're searching for a proper noun, name of a person, name of a firm, put that search within quotation marks. You'll get way better results. Otherwise, Google's going to treat that as a plus or an and. So a simple example, if I go in to Google and I type in, if I type in wholesale masterminds, what Google thinks I mean is both of those words must appear somewhere on the page. So wholesaler could be in the first paragraph, masterminds could be in the 40th paragraph. A simple thing like wholesaler masterminds within quotes, I'm telling the search engine that the words within quotes must be in that exact order.
And by the way, we should mention, because as long as we're giving goodness to our listeners, let's give them the goodness that applies in more places than just that. That is search algorithm for virtually every search website. So
everything.
Wholesalers, anytime you're doing a search, you're on LinkedIn, and you want to find out more about Sam Richter on LinkedIn, put in open quote Sam Richter, close quote, because now you'll get all the Sam Richters bunched together, or Sam Richter and take hold out of cold calling, bunch those two phrases together. So I digress, but it's goodness you can use elsewhere.
Absolutely. And it's a huge time saver, just that little trick. Okay.
Yep.
So now that I'm in Google, if I did that search on wholesale masterminds in Google, and I'm going to pull up what I typically expect. I'm going to pull up your website. I'm going to pull up your LinkedIn page, those kinds of things. That's all well and good, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But what I'm really looking for is a news article. So just do a simple search in Google, and then you'll notice on the Google results page, right underneath the Google search form on the results page, there's like another submenu. One of those buttons says More. Click on that. When you click on the More button, that actually allows you to sort your Google search results. Then choose under the More button, under that pull-down menu, choose News. And what Google will show is recent news about the company. So when you're calling on a larger company, so let's say you're calling on a rep at Morgan Stanley as an example, or UBS. When you call on larger companies like that, there are probably going to be some pretty good articles that show up in Google News. And just a very simple thing, instead of starting that sales conversation with, hi, you know, we've never met before, but I'm so excited to talk to you about my variable annuity product today. Instead, you start the conversation with, hey, Joe, you know, before I meet with people, I like to do a little bit of homework, and I just want to make sure everything you talk about is relevant to what you might care about. And guess what I found? Hey, I saw that recent article where you guys won Best Places to Work, or you guys just made that massive contribution to that nonprofit. Congratulations. How are you involved in that? By the way, there, just real quick, I broke that down into a couple sections that I think are really important. Now, these are the words that I actually use in meetings. Obviously, our listeners can use whatever the words they want, but let me break that down. The first part is, before I meet with people, I like to do a little bit of homework. I want to make sure we're relevant to everything we talk about today. I'm doing two things there. One, I'm letting the person know that we stalk them. You know, I get all the time in my presentations, how do you make sure people don't think you're a spy? So that's one way. I've also differentiated myself. He's like, wow, he did his homework. The next part is also really important. You know, oftentimes when we set up meetings, and you know, we're excited to set up the meeting, and then we see the person's name on our calendar the next morning, and we're like, oh, do we really need to meet with that guy? When you meet with an advisor, they've got a full mind of stuff going on in their world. They've got clients that are calling. They've got reports that are due. They've got prospecting that's due. And when you show up, there's all this small talk that's going on in their head, and they might not be giving you the attention that you deserve. When you start out with your conversation, hey, before I meet with people, I do a bit of homework, and then here's the magic words, and guess what I found? Like if I said that to you and say, hey, and guess what I found? What's going through your mind right now?
Snap me to attention. What'd you find out about me?
Yeah, what'd you find? Well, I found this great news article, and then you can talk about the other person and get them to comment. Now, when you're calling on RIAs, smaller firms, they're probably not going to show up in Google News. So a resource that is outstanding, and I say that with a little bit of selfishness because I built it, it's called www.ugotthenews.com. Ugotthenews.com will pull up information from small newspapers. So where Google's going to get the USA Today and the Wall Street Journals, I'm going to get the Peoria Shopper. And that's where a lot of the articles that are written about your advisors, the clients you're calling on, and their firms are also going to be. So use one of those two resources to find a news article so you can start the conversation with something about the other person.
So, Sam, let me interject a thought. Wholesalers, I want to underscore a couple things here, okay, because Sam's benevolently dishing out a ton of information. I just want to make sure I can highlight for you those tidbits that are evidencing themselves to be critically important to our wholesalers we deal with at Wholesaler Masterminds. Number one is removing the creep factor. Just like Sam said, everybody says, well, how can I not be creepy when I use my sales intelligence, as Sam calls it? And using Sam's words or your own words, but expressing clearly, in preparation for our appointment today, I was doing my homework. And that has the benefits that Sam was just talking about. Lets them know you were doing your investigative work and impresses the hell out of them that you actually took the time to look. The second thing is I want to make sure the site that Sam just talked about doesn't go by unnoticed or unremarked about. YouGotTheNews.com, we've started to use with our clients in our private practice to help them do the homework on the advisors, and we're having some really good success. So why do I say that? Yes, you may find this same stuff on page 23 of a Google search result, but Sam's algorithm brings it to you faster and carves out the noise. So very important, Sam. I want to make sure those didn't slide by unrecognized. So please do continue.
Oh, I appreciate that. And now here's why that's so important. Because, you know, again, I'm gonna reference your 76 questions. Outstanding questions, great questions. There's one missing piece there. And you know, every sales training program out there talks about you got to ask questions, got to ask great questions. One of the things that most programs don't talk about, and that is the key word, and that is permission. You don't have permission to ask the great questions until you've built that relationship. And I'll give you an advisor example, because it's obvious. It's all happened to us. All of us have been called on by young people just starting out in the financial services industry. You know, might be a guy, he's the son of a friend of yours, and he takes you up for coffee. And he sits down and says, you know, Mr. Soros, well, nice to meet you. You know, hey, I've got this 78-page questionnaire I need to fill out. How much money do you make?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm being a little bit facetious, but it's not too far off from that. You don't have permission to ask that question. And even when I eyeball the 76 questions here, if the first thing out of my mouth is, how long have you been in the financial service sales business? That, no offense to your question, that sounds a little bit canned. But if I start off with, hey, Joe, you know, I saw that article where, you won Small Business of the Year in Peoria, Illinois, and that is so awesome as an RIA. How long have you been in this business? You see the difference?
Absolutely. And by the way, just to pivot on that, because this is all in the spirit of your sales intelligence, let's say that I learned that this guy was a plumber for 15 years and now has been an advisor for 5. The more insightful question versus the one that's written on that piece of paper is, you know, Sam, I can't help but be curious. And doing my homework, I noticed you were a plumber for 15 years, and now you're a $500,000 a year financial advisor. How did you make that successful transition?
Exactly. Exactly. And what's going to happen, instead of getting doing it the old way, just launching into how many years have you been a financial advisor, the answer is going to be 6. Mm-hmm. Doing it exactly the way you just did it, you're going to get a 15-minute answer. And he or she is going to share so much information with you that then allows you to tailor your pitch, tailor your offering to what they care about. And by the way, getting the answer to how did you know that they were a plumber probably gets to my number 2 or number 1 tip, however you want to say it, and that is there is no excuse, period, should never happen because we all have mobile devices. 5 minutes before every single meeting, you must, underscore must, every single time, open up that mobile device, go to your LinkedIn app, and look up the advisor on LinkedIn, because that's where you're going to find out that for 15 years they were a plumber before they became an advisor.
Now, I got a question for you about that, okay? Because as you might imagine, with every audience that you speak to, you have engagement on LinkedIn that ranges from a perfunctory bio that says not very much and you're only connected with 20 people to the Uber user that is a fully built-out profile and is connected to 700 people. The one connected to 700 people is going to have an expanded range of visibility to the advisors by way of second and third connections. The limited user is going to have a very small range. Do you have a trick for us? This is a $64,000 question you may not be expecting, Sam, but if you have a trick for us, we want to know it. Do you have a trick for us to see those profiles of especially those level 3 connections, because generally, unless we're paying LinkedIn, we don't get to see their profiles.
So here's the magic trick on that, because you're right. You used to be able to see even your third-level connection on LinkedIn, and now you can't. Now they basically give you the first name, the first initial of their last name, and their job title.
Yeah.
And then they make you upgrade. No, you're not popular enough. For $49, we'll sell you their name. So here's the little magic trick. Now, first of all, I love LinkedIn, so I don't want to bash LinkedIn. And sometimes maybe upgrading to the pro version is exactly what you ought to be doing. That just depends on how much prospecting and your personal experience using LinkedIn. What I do on a third level connection, and sometimes it's not even a third level connection. All you get is a job title. This person has a LinkedIn profile, but you're not connected at any level, so we're just going to give you the job title. So here's the magic trick with anyone on third level or more that you're not connected with. Highlight the job title. Take your mouse, highlight the job title, right mouse click and choose copy. Go into Google and then paste in the job title exactly as it was within LinkedIn. Magic trick, put it within quotation marks, because as we talked about earlier, when you put something within quotation marks, it treats it like a phrase. When you do that, Google will give you the person's name. Now, once I have the person's name, I can highlight the name within Google, right mouse click and copy, go back into LinkedIn, paste that in the LinkedIn search form, so paste the name in the LinkedIn search form, and just as you accurately stated a few minutes ago, make sure you put that name within quotation marks, add one word from the name of the firm, and then because you've typed in so much information to you've typed all that information into LinkedIn, LinkedIn thinks, well, you must know that person, and they'll allow you to see the full profile.
Really?
So, let me repeat because it was a little confusing. So if you don't get the full, if you try to click on a profile within LinkedIn and LinkedIn says, nope, you got to have the pro version for this, just highlight the job title, right mouse click copy, into Google, paste, put the whole thing within quotes, Google will give you the person's name. Then highlight the person's name out of Google, go back into the LinkedIn search form, put the name into the search form within quotation marks. Now, if the name is Joe Bafutnik, you'll pull up their profile. If the name's Joe Smith, you'll want to add one word from their company name. And then because you've typed so much information into LinkedIn, LinkedIn thinks that you have a relationship with that person. They let you see the full profile.
Oh, wholesalers, we got to check that one out. That's a new one. So, Sam, I'll share one with you that sometimes works. We won't spend too much time here because we're about out of time, and then I want to ask you one quick question before we go.
Sure.
And that is sometimes if you use Google Advanced Search and do person's name, site, LinkedIn.
Site, colon.
Yeah, sometimes we can pull in the public view of their profile. Anyway, before we geek out and lose our listeners that aren't as geeky, I got a question for you.
Sure.
It's a quick hit on why is it important for me to understand what I look like on the interwebs and how do I compliantly show up better?
Well, that's a great question. You know, people ask me all the time. They'll say, Sam, you're scaring the heck out of me about what you find on other people. What are people finding on me? And so I did a little research, and there's a number of different studies. But in general, in the business-to-business world, which obviously a wholesaler is in, what percentage of the time do you think that the buyer, in this example, an advisor, what percentage of time do you think the buyer has not only Googled the name of the wholesaler, the brand, but also the individual's name, either pre or post meeting? What percentage of time do you think that occurs?
Wow, you're going to have better intelligence on this than I am, but I'm going to say 60% of the time.
93% of the time.
Get on out.
Depending on which survey. And they're going to go in and they're going to type in your name. Now, again, if your name's Brad Pitt, there's not a lot I can do to get you on the first page of Google search results. But if your name is Brad Bafutnik, we want to make sure that you control what you find. Again, let's go back to LinkedIn. I would make sure you have a really, really well-written LinkedIn profile because, you know, even on mine, when you Google my name, and I've been written up, like you mentioned in the intro, in CNN, USA Today, I've been featured in thousands of newspapers, magazines, blogs. So I've got a lot of content out there about me. But when you type my name into Google, still, depending on the day, the first, second, or third result is going to be my LinkedIn profile. The nice thing about a LinkedIn profile is you can write it in a Word document, get it approved by compliance, and then just post it out there. Where compliance, obviously, is concerned is the social interaction of what you're doing on LinkedIn. But a bio, most firms have now said that, you know, you can have your bio out there. So write a really good LinkedIn profile where you talk about some of the things that you're passionate about as it relates to your business and depending on what you feel you want to share, your personal life. The nice thing about that bio is it can also be leveraged. So, for example, now that it's written in an approved Word document, I would recommend you go get a free Google Plus account. Go get a Google Plus account and paste in your bio, that approved bio. Kind of makes sense, right? Geez, if someone types your name into Google, what do you think Google is going to start showing up more often than not if you've got a good Google Plus account? And then there's a few other websites as well where you can paste that profile in. Again, you're not interacting with these websites, so there really shouldn't be any compliance issues because you've already gotten the bio approved by compliance. But sites like Plaxo.com and Names.com, which is N-A-Y-M-Z, you can post your bio in there. And in what you want to appear will start showing up higher in Google search results.
Sam, I want to thank you for these tips. We've run long and happily so because, you know, I could geek out. Wholesalers, you know I could geek out on this stuff for a while. But I want to turn your attention to one post on Wholesaler Masterminds. If you haven't seen it, it's your LinkedIn profile might suck if. And those are the cardinal sins, right? There's things to improve your profile, and then there's the cardinal sins. And this particular post has the most sinful things that you should pay attention to, and then you can progress to improving your profile. Sam Richter, my deep appreciation for you giving us so much of your goodness and insight today on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Well, thank you. It's been a really honor. And as you could tell, I'm a little bit passionate about this. So I could go on for a few hours. So I appreciate our listeners hanging with me today. And hopefully everybody received one or two tips that will allow them to, what I call warm call, really build those relationships with people, take the cold out of cold calling, and just really provide more value to your clients and build those relationships with your prospects.
You have indeed, and wholesalers, we'll see you next time on the next episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.